Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we especially thank you for that, and we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Robert Levin is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He is the entrepreneur who came up with the idea and the guts and the capital to launch a magazine in a very busy space called the New York Enterprise Report, Small Business Solutions. And he did that a few years ago, and we've been talking to him about it for a couple of years now, and it just gets better and better. And he's a wonderful, besides the content, besides the information he always brings to us, he's just a great example of entrepreneurial success in America. And he's our good friend. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back, and congratulations. You had another great summit, didn't you? Another great small business expo, didn't you?
It's some of the Small Business Awards. It's the second year we did it. We weren't even looking to increase the number of attendees, but yet we still managed with over 460
wow
attendees. It was sold out. It was practically standing room only. And once again, many people said it was the best networking event they had ever been to.
Networking. Now, see, that's the thing. Isn't that interesting that they came there because you put the opportunity out there. You provided them with a venue. I mean, you provided them with information. You had speakers and lots of different things there, right?
We didn't have a lot of speakers. We gave out two sets of awards. We gave out awards to advocates of the small business community,
right,
and we gave out awards to people who have companies who have developed best practices in different disciplines. But, you know, when we came up with the idea for the awards, we didn't really want to just make the event itself. It's really the whole the Small Business Awards is a program that goes over a period of several months. The actual gala that night, you know, we're handing out those two sets of awards, but we didn't
right
want to make it about that, because nobody really comes to see other people get an award, or at least very few people do.
Well, that was a point I was making, is that you turned it into an incredible networking opportunity, and that's what people like about these things, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors why it's a successful networking event. One is we told people it would be, so
yeah,
you know, you get what you hope for. Number one. Number two is it's $200, you know, to get in. So that keeps away some of it. It keeps the attendees very high level.
Right.
The kind of people that other people want to meet, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And we do what we can to facilitate networking. We give a list of the attendees as people walk in. So if there's somebody you want to track down, at least you know who's in the room. And then we made it exciting. We had a photographer there who was able to put take people's pictures and put it on the cover of the magazine, so people can now say they were on the cover of the New York Enterprise Report. Right out of you know, the playbook of a Sweet 16 party.
Right.
And then we also gave away a 2-day car rental of a Lamborghini.
Which was won by our good friend Brian Moran, I understand.
Coincidentally, it was. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
We'll
I don't think he's taken it
that
for a spin yet, though.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can't wheedle one of those days away from him there. What do you think was the most important? What do you think was on the minds of your attendees? What do you think when they came there was the thing that they were the most interested in talking about with each other?
They're looking for business opportunities. You know, whether they're business owners or whether they're people serving business owners, everybody was looking for opportunities. The business owners may be looking for other business owners to work with, or for a vendor that can help take their business to another level. Because as small businesses, we're reliant on consultants and outsiders, and whether they're a technology company or maybe a lawyer with a certain specialty, we're relying on other people to help us grow because we don't have all the resources in-house. So I think everybody was looking to meet somebody. I mean, what people said to me is they felt like a kid in a candy store there. I mean, people were walking out with up to a dozen business cards and not just collecting. You know, these are professional networkers. They're
right.
not just handing out business cards left
right.
and right. They're having a meaningful, even though it may be a quick discussion, to see if there's something relevant to speak about.
Well, you know, and a lot of times what's cool about those things is if people know somebody's going to be there, you know, if they've talked to each other but they've never met, it gives them an opportunity to actually meet. It gives
That's
them a
right.
place to go, a venue where they can actually meet. There's so much virtual business going on these days. It's always a good idea. It's always good to be able to get together. Folks, there was the cover story of Roberts Magazine, the New York Enterprise New York Enterprise Report. Is a very interesting story, and we'll get Robert to tell us a little bit about that. And that'll be right after these messages, 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. But I'm going, it's all that I have
left. Spiral never ending, are we drawn toward the source? Spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force. So we stare into the emptiness and fall beneath the weight. Circling the nexus.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Robert Levin. Rob is the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report, an outstanding entrepreneurial story in itself, but he writes about it in his magazine. He publishes stories about entrepreneurs. Now, there's an interesting story this time, Rob, about an entrepreneur inside of a pretty good-sized company. Which you don't always hear entrepreneurial stories that coming out of big companies, but this is a pretty good story, isn't it?
You know, we got more comments on our October issue as a whole than we have on any other issue. And I always, whenever I hear good things about a magazine, that's a general comment. I always look at the cover story, and this is definitely one of my favorite cover stories. The guy's name is Zane Tankel. He's the guy who brought Applebee's franchises to New York when everybody else said it couldn't be done, which is lesson number one. Don't listen to naysayers if you really believe in what you're doing. And there's so many amazing things about this guy. I think in many respects he's doing what every entrepreneur would love to do. First of all, what he's doing is he's saying, you know, when you ask him what his role is in the company now, you're talking about a company now that's doing about $100 million.
Right.
He says
what is Applebee's? Is it part of the Yum brands or what is?
No, Applebee's is the I wouldn't call it fast food. It's a sit down.
No,
restaurant.
It's a family like a bar and grill. It's a family kind of type of restaurant. It's like Fridays or something like that. But
yeah.
But my question is it a standalone corporation? Or is it part of a larger corporation?
They just got bought by I believe they were public and they just got bought by IHOP within the past
okay.
couple of months.
All right. So it's I've eaten at Applebee's many times and it's they got pretty good food, So what was it about New York that they believed it wouldn't happen in New York?
Well, remember, he's the franchisee, so I don't remember if the franchisor said, maybe they did. I think the franchisor at some point said, you know, we just don't see this working for us in New York.
Right.
What works for us is parking lots, which, of course, we don't have on 42nd Street. At least not unless you want to pay
right, if you see Applebee's around the country, it's a standalone building with all
right.
kinds of parking and out on Restaurant Row.
Right. So, and in general, franchises haven't done well here. And he said it can be done, and he started with a restaurant in Staten Island, and now he has about 25 of them. And this is over, I don't know, less than 10 years.
What are his best practices that you think helped him make a difference?
Well, one of them, which I alluded to earlier, is when you ask him what his role in the company is now with, I don't know, 3,000 employees or so, he says that his role is to be a cheerleader where, you know, he may see something in a restaurant that doesn't look right, and he won't go and fix it. He'll ask the manager, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And he'll wait for the manager to actually come around and figure it out and fix
mm-hmm.
it. You know, that's the whole thing, give a person a fish. That's the thing you don't want to do. You want to teach him how to fish, and that's
right.
That's what he's doing. And I really think that there's a lot of our readers, a lot of entrepreneurs who want to get there at some point. And it's really tough to get over that bridge because you always say, well, I have to wait till I have the right people. But at some point, you really have to start taking some gambles and letting your people fail and become that cheerleader. And that's
exactly.
When you can really, that's when you're positioned to grow your business.
Well, and the, exactly. And the thing is you've got to help your people be successful in their assignments. And you can't do that if you do their work for them.
Right.
And that's one of the most important jobs of a manager of people is you've got to allow them to make mistakes. You got to allow them within, you know, within their scope, and when they make mistakes, you got to, your response should be, okay, what did we learn?
Exactly, and you know, it's easier said than done, and I'll give you a really good example. A few weeks ago, I sat down with another publisher of the magazines, both here in LA, and he's doing very well. And I said, well, you know, what are you, how are you spending your time? And he said, well, you know, I really like to just go on calls with my salespeople. I said, who does all the talking? And he said, I do. And, you know, so, and I said, why? He goes, look, I know I can pitch it better than anyone. I'm not going on every single call with these people, but this is the opportunity for them to learn and see how I pitch. So
right.
he didn't really say it. It's because he wants to have the best shot at getting the business because he's actually using it as a learning tool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, had he tried to just be purely a cheerleader, he would have gone in these meetings and just kept quiet and then commenting after. So it's not that easy to do. You know, I know in my case, when I'm going on a sales call with somebody, I may let them start, but I know I'm going to have to pitch in if something's missing because at this
right.
point, I really need the deal to get done.
You need to put the deal together, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not as easy as...
No, it's not as easy as... But one of the ways you do that, though, Rob, is the mistakes that they make, you let them make, you set up the decision-making process so that they make lots of little decisions. And you know, you make the big decisions, but where there's a little decision to be made, let them make those. And that way, if they fail in the little decisions, it doesn't take you down. It doesn't make that big an impact. And you can still get the same learning opportunity when they make a little mistake.
That's great advice.
Now the guy's name is Zane Tankel, and he's the Applebee's franchisee in New York City. Now, he did some other things. What will you tell us about convicts?
You know, when I interviewed him, he had about 10 people from his company there, and I think he really did it to make a point. At first I was thinking, what's going on here? I'm not interviewing all these people. I don't have the time. But he introduced me. I forgot the woman's name. There was a woman right next to him. And he said, well, you know, meet so-and-so. She just spent a Jackie was her name. She just spent 11 years in a federal mental
wow.
penitentiary.
Hold on to that thought, Rob. We're going to come back and let Rob finish that story right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Robert Levin is the publisher and the founder and the visionary behind the New York Enterprise Report.
I don't know why they don't explode.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's our 10-year-old website. Now 10 years this month. Next month, we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show, which we're going to be doing in part in Rob Levin's city. We're going to be broadcasting the last 2 days of that week that we're going to celebrate our anniversary. We're going to be broadcasting from New York City. And so, Rob, we're looking forward to coming up and seeing you guys. Rob, folks, as you know, is the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. And by the way, folks, our other website is askjim.biz. That's our knowledge base where you can get small business answers. Now, Rob, you were telling us about, by the way, before we go any further, give us your website, please.
nyreport.com.
nyreport.com. And the book is primarily for readers in the tri-state area, right?
It is, although as many people have pointed out to us, most of the articles will work anywhere. In fact, I was at a 10-year business school reunion on the West Coast at UCLA, and it turns out a lot of my fellow students who are entrepreneurs are reading the magazine out there, which came as a surprise. So if you want access to the content, all you got to do is go online. Just about all the articles, these expert-written articles, are available online.
Check it out when you get a chance. Okay, you were telling us about the Zane Tankel, who's the Applebee's franchisee in the New York area, and one of the first people he wanted you to meet, and he was very specific about this, he wanted you to know that he was employing a convict, a former ex-con.
Yeah, well, I think the way the story started is, and if you're not from New York, you may not be familiar with the area, but he built a restaurant in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, which now is actually turning into, it's actually a nice turnaround story for a neighborhood, but years ago, you couldn't imagine a big company kind of coming in there. And he couldn't find a lot of employees. It wasn't easy, and he said that virtually every single employee when he opened the store, had a criminal background.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are people, this isn't just people, you know, you're hiring employees with a criminal background. You're hiring employees who are serving your customers. And, you know, he's essentially taken a chance on these people, and I don't think he could say every one of them's worked out, but many of them have, and many of them have now risen up through the ranks and are managers.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when you're a manager for him at any of his stores in any capacity, you get a Volkswagen Passat. Fully
wow.
loaded, insurance paid for,
wow.
taxes paid for, etc. You know, he's really, again, I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, not all, but a lot, that really would love to be in a position to be doing these things for employees because they know it just comes back to you with a big return. But this is a guy that's really doing it. He's making it work. Everything that we would love to be doing, he's doing.
What do you did? And I guess you could see that his employees liked him a lot.
The guy's 67 years old, and when you see him literally rapping with his employees, I mean, he's like he's one of them, and it seems like to a certain degree, in the little exposure I had to them, it seems that they feel fairly comfortable in communicating with him, which is
right.
very important.
Right. Well, what do you think if he told you what his single most significant management practice or principle would be? What do you think he would say?
I think it's a combination of being a cheerleader, being really empowering people to do their thing and not necessarily stepping on their toes, letting them make some non-critical mistakes, as you alluded to earlier, and also, as he said, treat employees as if they were volunteers.
Hmm.
And these days, you know, with a tight labor market, particularly here in New York,
yeah.
You have to treat them like they're volunteers because it's not that hard in many disciplines for them to get another job.
They don't have to come back tomorrow, do they?
They don't. And if they're working just for the paycheck, it's probably not the kind of person you want anyway.
Especially in a service industry like a restaurant.
Exactly.
And people want to come back to places where they feel that people are enjoying what they're doing, don't they? They want to be around that, don't they?
Absolutely. It reminds me of our cover story a year ago, Danny Meyer, who has some of the most successful restaurants here in New York and very upscale restaurants. And he puts his employees, in terms of people who he needs to satisfy, over above customers and shareholders.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and
well,
he thinks if he does that, everything else will fall into place.
He thinks the employees are the egg, not the customers, and that's an excellent point. Give us that website again, Rob.
Our website is nyreport.com, and you can read about Zane Tankel and Danny Meyer and dozens of other entrepreneurs, as well as other articles.
Can we also subscribe from there if we want to? Can we?
If you're in the New York area, absolutely. nyreport.com/subscribe.
All right, sounds good. Check it out, folks, when you get a chance. Hey, Rob, thanks for being here. Good job today. Congratulations on another great issue, and I'll see you in about a month.
I'm looking forward to finally meeting in person, Jim.
Yeah, me too, Rob. Take care of yourself. Rob Levin, ladies and gentlemen, New York Enterprise Report. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.